How are you?
Good.
Whereabouts are you calling from at this point?
I'm calling from Kirtland, New Mexico, which is sort of northwest New Mexico in the state.
And for those who have never been to America or New Mexico, can you describe what it's like? What's the scenery?
It's mainly high desert. We are in the desert area, but we're in a very interesting spot where we have a lot of different terrains. We have rivers, lakes, mountains, cliffs, deserts, and just, you know, we have a little bit of everything. And we also get pretty good, like four seasons here as well. So pretty significant area and spot to be in. It's very sort of Midwest. If you're looking at the entire United States, we're left of Texas, if you will.
It sounds really nice. It's good to have four seasons, I think. It breaks the year up.
Yeah.
So as a musician, how does this landscape speak into your music?
Well, there's all sorts of ways. I've done various songs about our landscapes, and right now the majority of the songs that I have made were due to stories given to me by either elders, indigenous elders, and some of our own tribes elders, speaking of certain sort of landscapes. They could be valleys, they could be mountains, and some are even associated with our creation stories, some of the mountains and landscapes that are within our creation stories. And so basically allow me to sort of visualize how these landscapes were made and the meaning inside them. And, you know, I try to express that musically.
So to me, it sounds like you're translating storytelling from one form to another, and that is through jazz.
Yeah, pretty much. And usually when I, you know, hear a story, I'm sort of the one out of the quartet that sort of brings this melody to the forefront, and I get to tell the story in front of the band and show them sort of what, you know, I'm aiming for or what I hope to deliver from the story through music. And once the band has an idea, we equally input you know, what we want to play. I don't necessarily write out anything for the band. They actually just bring themselves and sort of what they're feeling to it. And so it's very a collective matter. And because we have such a significant amount of improvisation in our music, it allows us to be very free and get to really focus on the emotion and meaning that we're trying to give out.
Yeah, I think collaboration definitely sounds like the heart from speaking with elders, people around you, and then taking that to the quartet. There's someone at every step of the way. I think that's really beautiful. Can you give us an example of perhaps a story that was made into a song?
Yeah, so one song, and I know we'll most likely be performing it there at the arts festival. It's called A Heart Passage, and it was actually sort of a photograph that was taken by a local photographer of a national monument called the Ark, and that's located in Aztec, New Mexico, which is about, I would say, 30 minutes from where I live currently. And a photo was taken, and it was given to our elders to sort of look at this formation, and it's a big sandstone arc. But it was interesting because the elders didn't focus on the arc, they focused on what was beneath it, and they told us to sort of observe and to look at what was beneath the arc. And so, but it was a dried up wash, and it was almost like perfectly leveled, and it was untouched. So this wash that was beneath it was very level, but it also had no rocks on it, no tracks, no leaves or pieces of trash or whatever. It was basically untouched. And so when we were sort of talking about it, the elders were saying that, you know, the belief of when someone is born, they said they are perfect. Every human being is perfect when they're born. And that they said that it's because of the world that sometimes we pick up these characteristics. Sometimes we might pick up anger or worriness, or it could be sadness. Basically, you know, the more we're in the world, the more we pick up from it. And sometimes we pick up traits that are somewhat negative, you know. And so they say that this wash is what they call the heart passage. And they said heart passage refers to kind of listening back to, you know, your perfect human being self. And so they said it's very hard because of these other characteristics get in the way. But they said if everyone were to listen and were to treat everyone else as if they were, you know, in their original selves when they were born, meaning if they were to go back to their normal human being selves with not looking at each other with any type of you know, positions or titles or bureaucracy, any of those things, they said that the world would be a much better place because everyone is looking at each other as human beings, no longer with, you know, any type of entitlements. And so the idea of heart passage is that one who is struggling, one who is might be very difficult to socialize for people, they would have to listen and try to remember that perfect state of themselves, you know, sort of a healing way. And they say that this landscape was there so that, you know, I guess back then when the tribes would see it, it would remind themselves to humble themselves, and that to treat everyone as if they were, you know, at either their highest potential, or treat someone as if they're always in service to them. And so those were kind of like the two areas where there was a lot of focus on when they would see this sort of wash called heart passage. And so in musically, you know, when I was talking with the guys, I was saying that there has to be some type of steadiness within the song, something that's unchanging, that's sort of stays the same throughout the piece. And so an example is my trumpet. I just end up holding on to one note that sort of represents the wash, the land format that we see. Everyone else represents the landscapes and everything around it. And so the idea is I would be playing but not moving, just sort of staying put, and the rhythm section would be sort of changing, trying to imitate all the rest of the land. So that's sort of a way to, I guess, key in the listeners onto the one note and have them really focus. Although things are changing around us, the main idea is to stay true to yourself and really try to remember to humble yourself all the time in the world. So that's kind of an example of how we would take sort of this landscape and try to work it musically and for the audience to hear.
Thank you for that. That was such a beautiful story. And so in your live performances, are you taking those bones of what you just described about the consistency, and each time it's different with improvisations, or is it pretty set?
Well, I would say about 75% of what we play in each song is improvisation. We do go by the sort of jazz standard format where we do play a melody or a concept, and then we would solo, and then we would, you know, bring back the melody or the concept again. So kind of like a sandwich. melody first, solo second, and then end with melody again. That's sort of the basic format of everything. But I think we've played the songs enough that where we all understand the concept of the song. So not all the time we play the melody the same, but during the improvisation sections, everyone goes into a more listening mode and are really trying to carefully select, you know, the next notes according to what we're trying to portray. A lot of times, you know, it's different sometimes because it also depends on, you know, the individual. I know sometimes when I'm tired or might just be a little unfocused, you know, I tend to play like I'm tired or like slouchy or a little, maybe a little lazy. Mm-hmm. But it's also a very true expression of me at that time. And I think, you know, jazz is all about expression and sort of in the moment at the time. And I feel like, you know, that's some of the greatest, I guess you could call like the uniqueness that we have as a band is no one is trying to be something they're not, you know, that they're going to play how they feel at the moment. But also we understand we have a duty of what we're trying to put forward for the audience so they can understand what we're trying to give and understand the story, you know, and try to bring the emotions up forefront. So, you know, it kind of just goes back to, you know, there's venues who really take care of their artists and make sure they're comfortable. It has, you know, has a lot to do with that, because if, you know, some venues that we travel to, there's no accommodations and it's just, we get there, we sound check and we play and then we leave. And it's really hard to like really get in a relaxed state before, you know, where we play. And but there's some venues that also, you know, they allow us to rest before. They might bring us in a day early to get used to the time and, you know, all those things. And they feed us well, and you know, that way we're feeling, you know, great by the time we perform. And we definitely you know, end up playing that way. We might not know right off how we're performing, but those types of things do help. And I know with the Auckland Arts Festival coming up, they really made sure that we're very comfortable. So I'm really excited to perform there, because I think all the entire quartet is going to be feeling amazing.
I really appreciate you talking about that, because it puts it into a more holistic perspective of the performance. There's everything that comes before and everything that comes after. And one of the core values in Māori culture is mana kitanga, which is hospitality. I wonder if your music through Native American being also responds to this. It's more of it's a wholeness rather than just the performance itself.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with the songs that we're inspired from, you know, they're called Diné spinning songs, and Diné is just what we call ourselves. The government calls us Navajo, but you know, our culture, we like to call ourselves Diné, and which Diné basically means the people, not just a certain type of people, but people as in human beings, like all people kind of thing. And these songs that we're inspired by, they're called Diné spinning songs. And spinning songs are basically, they are social songs that teach sort of a life lesson. And sometimes it could be very serious or it could be very funny. But the idea of a spinning song is based on sort of the environment that you're in, or those who are around you. So it's about, you know, it's about things that are you surround yourself with. And it kind of brings back, you know, to that idea of hospitality. It sort of keeps us aware of our whereabouts. If we surround ourselves with those who are happy, you know, the idea is that we will be happy too. But if we start surrounding ourselves with people who are angry or sad, we become angry or sad as well. Yeah. So it's just sort of, you know, that kind of sort of mindset. And when we begin to collaborate with certain venues, the venues or you know, the festivals who focus a lot on welcoming and hospitality, which I know when we get there, we do have a welcoming ceremony scheduled, and they're even giving us a day rest before we get into anything. So everything is, it just makes the collaboration much better. And so, and you know, it gives us a very welcoming feeling. You know, with my tribe, we have this thing that's based off of ke, which means family, and honjong, which is sort of beauty, balance, and harmony, and those sort of the foundation of the Diné people. And you can definitely see that within, you know, when we're traveling and especially headed to the Uklin, just based on sort of the welcome ceremony and the idea of just the hospitality, you know, the values are very alike and very similar to the Diné values, just because of, you know, you're in service to those who are coming in. And that's kind of, you know, one thing that I guess an example is, you know, my grandmother, she always used to keep a pot of stew going at all times throughout morning, throughout night. And, you know, when we asked her why, she said it's for the people who might come in later, you know, unknowingly. And so just the idea of being at service to one another and, you know, the idea of the beauty of it, the balance and the harmony that we can all create together, it's all there. And you know, you can definitely see it just based on, you know, the emails going back and forth and kind of the schedule they're giving us. We're really excited to be a part of it.
Well, we're really excited to have you here. You're performing in the Arts Festival Indigenous Music Series. What is it that you hope your audience will feel or take away from your performance?
Yeah, well, I feel that, you know, we, you know, definitely taking the entertainment side of it, you know, just having fun listening to the songs. And we hope that it's very sort of palatable and that, you know, they're able to even dance to it if they would like. But also, I think the bigger reason or the more we want to get the emotions across of the songs and definitely the stories, because a lot of the stories were given to us by either an Indigenous elder or a different Indigenous tribe. And we hope that, you know, by telling the story, we create sort of this awareness, but also preservation of the music and giving it to people in a little different format. Instead of just you know, hearing it traditionally, hearing it more on the side of jazz and funk. The takeaway, I hope they can really connect the story with the music and really hear the emotions that we're trying to put out based on the story that we're telling. So I hope it's more than just hearing good music, but I, you know, taking those stories away and hopefully, like I said, creating awareness and just letting people know that, you know, the Diné tribe is still around and will be around for, you know, a very long time.